Good morning and welcome to worship at Little Sitar Church of the Brethren. I'd also like to welcome our radio audience that will be listening. I don't know if they'll be listening later today or another day perhaps, but today is Broadcast Sunday. We'll be recording our service for later broadcast on WLBR, so I welcome the radio audience as well. For the people who don't know, we have a new pastor who began the beginning of September. His name is Matthew Christ, and we will be hearing from him later during the sharing of joys and concerns and then also in the message. So welcome one and all, both on the radio and both here in our sanctuary. Thank you for coming and joining us. As you see on our screen, there's a message about the registry. Please sign the registry of attendance and pass it on to your neighbors. In way of announcements, later after service today, we will be having the soup and sandwich downstairs in the fellowship hall. You're welcome to attend there. We also have a breakfast coming up this coming Saturday in our fellowship hall. And on Sunday next week will be our Golden Age dinner. There are a lot of things in our bulletin. Please take notice to the announcements. Are there any other announcements that need to come this morning?
Good morning. I'm making an announcement on behalf of the preschool board. The preschool is having a pie sale. You can purchase a voucher for $13, and you can get a lovely pie from Country Fair. So they just ask that you call before you pick it up, and you can redeem your pie anywhere from November 10th to January 10th. So right there for the holidays. It's a great idea. So if you're interested, there's going to be a sign-up sheet out in the narthex, and they're going to sell the pies between October 20th and October 31st. So if you're interested, their sign-up sheet will be out in the lobby. Thank you.
Just a gentle reminder for the Freebie-a-thon, if you've already sorted your clothing out of your closet, please bring it to the church between now and 5 p.m. on Wednesday, and please leave it in the outer narthex between the doors up front here, and then the clothing will be taken over to Salem Lutheran. If by chance you don't get it sorted out till Thursday, please take it directly to Salem Lutheran almost any time on Thursday, beginning at 9 o'clock.
Thank you, Beryl.
Anybody over 60 sign up for the banquet next week? This is your last chance so that the committee can get a count for the dinner. So come and enjoy yourself after the service for a great meal and great entertainment.
Thank you. Alrighty, I think that's the end of our announcements. Please open up your hymnal and stand to sing Praise the Lord, Sing Hallelujah, number 50.
Praise the Lord.
You may be seated, but don't put away your hymnals. Get them to page 348. We'll be using that at the end of our prayer time.
Good morning. We were so blessed during the first service to have Gerhard Reinhardt join us again. And he is home from the hospital once again and was there for a few days. And it's just always wonderful to see how the Lord works in his life and continues to work in ours. So I welcome you this morning to share your joys and concerns with us as we go into our time of prayer.
Hello. I have a couple joys I'd like to share. First of all, it's a joy to be back at my home church. I've been here for a while. I also have a new full-time job where I'm the manager where I work, and I also am expecting. So I pray that everything goes as planned.
Praise the Lord. We're glad you're here. Welcome. Any others this morning?
Yeah, we're just glad that John's doing well. He's home and walking around pretty good.
Great. Wonderful news.
I had sent out on the prayer chain about 2 weeks ago, my boss's stepson, Scott Marty, was in a pretty bad fall, many, many, many broken bones and things, and none of which seemed life-threatening. But for 3 weeks, he was on the ventilator, and 2 weeks ago, when I put the request out for prayer, they were considering taking him off of life support. When I talked to my boss earlier this week, he is off life support, he is eating, and he seems to be that he's going to make a full recovery.
Praise the
Lord. So she thanks you for your prayers.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Any others this morning? Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness to our lives. It is such a joy to be present here in this place, sharing worship with our brothers and sisters of the faith. But Lord, we do know there are those in our community, in our world, that have not yet come to know the good news. And Father, we pray that we would indeed be light, we would be love to those that are searching, to those that are looking for hope. So Father, use us. We pray that you would indeed guide us to those in our lives, in our circles of friends, acquaintances, Lord, that we might share that good news. Lord, we do rejoice that you have provided job, you have given the opportunity to have child, and we pray your blessing over that woman of faith, Lord, and ask that you would go with her and allow her to know your presence. And we just thank you again, Lord, for Gerhard Reinhardt and his health and the way that you continually move in his life and just allow him to be at home resting again, Lord. And it was such a joy to see him during the first service and what a legacy he leads as he walks out his faith. We think of those that are recovering, Lord. We think of Joyce Luckinbill, and we think of Scott Marty and the process ahead of them, Lord, but we know that you are with them and that you are bringing them back to full health because we trust you, Lord Jesus, as our master physician, and we do thank you for modern medicine as well to help in those processes. And we think of the family and friends of Dennis Keeney and the services being held tomorrow to celebrate his life. We pray your comfort, we pray your peace over each of them, Lord, as he has gone home to life eternal, and we just pray that your love would surround them. And Lord, we think of those on our prayer concerns as well, the family and friends of Gary Eckenrode, Thomas Schwenk, Bobby and Helene Reppert, Lester Bayshore, Joan Haupt, the family of Betty Wortluft, Thomas Fisher, Chris Tobias. And Lord, we lift each one here and in our listening audience up to you. We ask that your will would be done in their lives. We ask that we would daily seek after you, that we would read your word, we would study and know that which you call us to. And Father, we pray that we would indeed be faithful followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for his love. We thank you for his compassion that he showed on the cross. and paid the price for our sins. And we give you all glory and honor. And we thank you for this place, Little Swatara, and ask your abundant blessings upon it. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shared our joys and concerns. I was thinking of our time of offering coming up, and part of being part of the church, we're members of one body, and as members of the body, we support each other. And in our joys and concerns, when we're having a down moment and people are having an up moment, we can get rejoice with them and be uplifted by hearing and sharing in their joy. And sometimes maybe we get a little too joyful, and we have others who are struggling, and we need to kind of back off a little bit and enjoy sharing with our brother who is in need and lifting them up. So it's great to be part of a church. And as you bring your offerings this morning, think of the part of the church that you are, and just praise God for this wonderful body.
Master, the call is, I've had enough. So we're going to partake in a race this morning as you guys race forward to join in the children's moment. Who wants to hold Harry the hamster? You're going to hold Harry the hamster, and you're going to we can't talk this morning. Tommy the turtle, welcome. We are so glad you guys are with us this morning. So have you guys ever heard the story about the tortoise and the hare? You ever hear the story of the tortoise and the hare? Do you guys remember the story of the tortoise and the hare? And of course, today's sermon lesson is on being a bit slower in our lives. Now, as you look at those two animals, which one do you think would be the slower of the two, the turtle or the hamster?
The turtle.
The turtle, yes, you're very right. The turtle would be the slower one. But when the tortoise, we'll call it the tortoise in the race, and the hare ran the race, which one actually ended up winning? The hamster that represents the hare, very good. But that's not really true, is it? The tortoise actually won, didn't it?
Then he will go faster when that pack goes in his tongue. And then he can go faster than when he goes.
Very true, very true. You put a turtle in water and they can go really, really fast, is what she said, yeah. So the hare, what the hare would do, in this case the hamster, it would have to take a break, wouldn't it? Because he was just running with all of his speed. Did you ever do that? You're running and then you just need to stop and just take a breath. Take a breath. And so the tortoise, because the tortoise was going so slow, it was able to just be steady and it didn't have to break. So in this story of the tortoise and the hare, the turtle, because it lived his life at a slow and steady pace, was able to win the race. And sometimes you ever feel like you're in a hurry sometimes? Like there's really just so much going on and you just go from one thing to the next. Sometimes feel like that, it just gets too busy. That happens in life, doesn't it? Adults, we know all about that, right? How busy our lives can become. So we're gonna take a lesson from the tortoise to take life slow and steady. In particular this morning, being slow to speak and slow to anger and being quick to listen. So we wanna thank Tommy and we wanna thank Harry for demonstrating to us the idea of being patient in life. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for these dear, precious children. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their family. I thank you for the church family. Lord, just bless them. Lord, just pour out your love upon them. Just let them know how very special and near and dear they are to our hearts. And we just thank you for the lesson of the turtle, the tortoise, Lord, to be able to know that we go through life slow and steady, that we're going to win the race. And in that hurried emotion, that hurried pace of life, sometimes we make mistakes. And so, Lord, help us to just slow down, take deep breaths, and know that that's the way to travel through life. So, Lord, help us. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, Pat goes in his tummy and he goes faster.
Super fast, yeah. Well, thank you guys for joining us. You can set those right over there on the pew if you want to. Thank you very much. Very good. Here. Yep, right next to the hamster will be good.
Our scripture lesson this morning will be from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious, don't control your tongue. You are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you.
Your word says, but often it's difficult to put it into practice. So, Father, this morning we just pray that you would allow your word to come alive within our hearts,
within our minds, that it would produce actions that help us to be slow to speak, to be slow to get angry, but to be quick to listen. Father, we know we lived in a fast-paced world, and we live in a hurried life. But Lord, help us even this day to take a moment to step back and just take in your brilliance of your fall foliage that you've provided for us, to be able to look around and realize just how incredible you have designed this earth and designed the human beings that are within. Father, thank you for each one. May you speak directly to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. What a joyous day to be in the house of the Lord. Welcome again to those here in this place and those listening in on WLBR. We're so glad again that you are with us today. May you be blessed on your faith journeys. As we continue our second week into our series from the book of James entitled Talk is Cheap, today's scripture lesson from James 1, 19 to 27 focuses on keeping our ears open, our mouths shut, and our impending anger at bay. We capture in these verses that the angry talker is not in line with what's right in God's eyes. Now, James, we recall, covers many different issues, but it has one common theme: how believers should live because of their faith in Jesus. We're all familiar with the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We could be sitting here this morning even hearing the children singing that in the playground. But in reality, how untrue, how misleading this statement truly is. We all know we can recover from a broken leg. We can recover from a broken arm. But if someone smears our name through the mud, spreads rumors and lies about us in which others actually believe them, it's not accurate whatsoever to say words never hurt me. We may never get the job we want. People may never quite trust us. Friends, even family, may leave us. Words can be harsh. They can leave lasting wounds. They're certainly not words that fall into proper action. It's good to remind ourselves there's risk linked to our words. There's hazards. There's uncertainties. And as verse 19 of James chapter 1 clearly states, it fares us well to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. There's a word that comes to mind as we consider these things, and that word is patience. I'm not sure how well you do with patience, but it doesn't come naturally for me. It's not on the top of my best qualities. We realize that when our patience reaches its limit, anger may result. We start to think, if things are not how they should be, how might we fix them? And when the results discourage us, when they don't go the way we would feel they should, our patience begins to wear thin. Our anxiety starts to build up, and our frustration with the situation leads to anger. And we all know anger, if left untamed, may lead to rage. As parents, we'll ask our children politely the first time, please put away your things. By the second time, our patience is starting to wear thin. The third time, we're beginning to get quite frustrated. Why is it so difficult to put away what you got out? We may even say this to our wives and husbands. And if we say it one more time, our voice begins to escalate. Our tone begins to change. And the timing we expected things to be done is not being met. There seems to be a difference between our timing and others. And in this case scenario, impatience is the culprit. Now notice, in our scripture, James says the word slow. Not once, but twice. Often we are quick to speak. Often we're even quicker to become angry. But the problem, my friends, is this. Once words leave our mouths, we can never, ever get them back. There have been times we've said things we wish we'd kept our mouth shut. There are times our buttons have been pushed that have taken us over the edge. We may be sitting here, we may be listening in this morning, and the floodgates just opened wide to a conflict that we may be in this very moment. It's caused us separation between you and a loved one. It's a conversation you had with a very good friend that led to a misunderstanding. It's that parent-child relationship that's suffering, and the two of you are at odds. And we know in our hearts what needs to be done. But more often than not, our pride gets in the way. Research tells us that animals and people alike become enraged in response to deliberate outside threats to their well-being, as well as to the well-being of their loved ones. The anger then is partly an expression of that fear that comes from being threatened, invaded, or mistreated. And partly a warning shot goes out, a firm no to deter the outside threat from going any further. But James in chapter 1, verse 21 responds like this. He says, "So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the message God has planted in your hearts, for it is strong enough to save your souls." There's a definitive connection being made here. When ridding yourselves of sinful tendencies, we must accompany it with receiving God's word. Consider something that's being planted. In order for it to grow, it needs to take root. When those roots are strong enough, it can face adversity. If we plant God's word in our hearts, and if we deeply root it by reading, by meditating on it, the power to carry on through life's storms become less and less of a challenge. Matthew chapter 15, verses 17 through 20 helps us understand this further. "Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you." Friends, do we see? Can we listen to what is so critical in this? That to have God's word being deeply rooted in our hearts is going to reflect the words that flow from within. You see, our words are a reflection of what's being consumed. But here's what we understand happening in today's culture. Dr. Hart from Fuller Theological Seminary states our mind and body were designed for camel speed. However, our life is moving at the speed of a cheetah. And no wonder we're having anxiety attacks. It's now the number one emotional problem of our day. And we know from research, anxiety and depression go hand in hand. Proverbs 12:25 says this, "Worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up." When's the last time we've encouraged someone, we've uplifted someone? It's such an important task as followers of Christ to constantly be reminded that there is someone in our lives that needs hope this very day. Might we take the opportunity to share a word of encouragement, to write a note of encouragement? It'll make their day. But there's this false reality that happens in anger. Somehow we feel that we have power through our anger. Verses 20 and 21 explain it like this. "To avoid the human anger that doesn't produce God's justice, the way that God works in and through us is not by taking our malicious anger to somehow make things right. The way God works is through His word. There continues to be a need for making a difference. While God's love is spontaneous to His own being, His wrath or anger is called forth by the wickedness of His creatures." C.H. Dodd well observed it like this, "Wrath is the effect of human sin. Mercy is not the effect of human goodness, but is inherent in the character of God." If we look at the overall biblical portrayal of the wrath or the anger of God, it's not as much an emotion or an angry frame of mind. It's the settled opposition to his holiness to evil. Mercy, we see, gets the upper hand in the Old Testament, but grace is the ultimate word in the New Testament. We have seen that every generation in the church worries. People are simply gliding along and simply enjoying what they hear in church. It's comforting to know that James faced exactly the same issue. We can be happy to listen to the word, but we can't go away without it having a profound impact on our lives. I love the illustration James uses next. Now, we can safely assume that there were no photographs. Glenn Regal wasn't there in those days to capture the moment. And not many people had their portrait painted. And not too many even had mirrors. So if they did happen to catch sight of themselves, they very quickly forgot what they saw. It's not like today when we've just eaten our meal and the minute we see our reflection, we're looking for something in our teeth. We're checking to see if our hair looks right, or we're wondering about our makeup if we wear it. But this is where James makes the connection for his readers. In verses 23 to 25, he says this: "For if you just listen and don't obey, it's like looking at your face in a mirror, but doing nothing to improve your appearance. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you keep looking steadily into God's perfect law, the law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." James is like this. We take a quick glance at God's word. We hear what it says, but then we forget it sooner than later. It's like that saying, in one ear and out the other. We're reminded that scripture and the message about Jesus Christ really is the perfect law of freedom. We often hear that laws restrict the way people live. And I can hear that. But what would the world look like if there were no laws? Suppose we didn't have a law about which side of the road we're to drive on. Everyone would set out for their Sunday afternoon cruise. They'd be doing their own thing. Can you even begin to conceive the chaos, the accidents, the close calls, the feeling someone at some time real soon is about to be coming right at you? What kind of freedom is that? By driving on the right side of the road, it sets you free to go the speed limit. That, my friends, is what God's law is like. By restricting your freedom in some ways, it opens up far greater freedoms in other ways. And the point is this: when we look into this law, the word of God, it's supposed to radically change us. It's like the caterpillar that turns into a butterfly, a seed that turns into a plant. The life that follows Christ is never the same. The word we see needs to be shown by our faith and actions. We're taken back to the very fact that talk, again, is just cheap. The world is screaming, "Show me, show me, show me, show me the real McCoy." And when this happens, God's blessings follow. He enriches our lives in ways that we can't even begin to fathom. Verse 26, James 1 goes on to say, we're fooling ourselves if we claim to be religious but don't control our tongue. He says our religion is worthless. What's happening is that we're deceiving ourselves. We're in essence a living, walking, talking contradiction. In effect, if we say we follow Christ, there are people in this community, there are people in this world, there are people right here among us who need our help, who need a word of encouragement. They're yearning for God's love and care. And this morning, I say bravo. Bravo to those who are stepping up in faith to show what Jesus looks like. Amen. But we know, We know that it is a messy, messy world that we live in. And that mess is trying to mess up our own lives as well. It's helpful to know that when it's most difficult to keep a tight rein on our tongue, that that mess can be turned into something solid in Jesus Christ. Think about our lives this morning. Think about the pace at which we're living it. The people we interact with, the activities that we're involved in, how might we change to focus more on what God's word says and focus on those in need? If we know, if we claim God as our Father, we will be concerned about his children. And here's a great example to finish our time this morning. It comes from the Gospel of Mark. We're in chapter 4, verse 38. Jesus is asleep at the back of the boat. A great storm comes up. Waves are beating against the boat. It's filling with water. But Jesus just goes on sleeping. We start to think that he's oblivious to the situation. He doesn't even know that there's a storm. But in reality, we simply know Jesus is not afraid at all. The disciples, though, in contrast, are quite terrified. They awake Jesus and more or less say, "Don't you care about us? Are you going to let us die?" And then something miraculous happens. Jesus calms the storm. The wind stops, the waves cease, and there's this great stillness. And he follows with this question. And it's as much for us as it was for his disciples. And he said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in me?" You see, the life of Jesus was at the pace of a camel. This unhurried life is the foundation for the peace that we need to protect ourselves from the outcomes of impatience. So I leave us this morning with this question. When it comes to keeping our ears open, our mouths shut, and our impending anger at bay, how are we doing? How are we doing? That is a question I invite you to answer and to consider the impact Jesus and his word are having on your lives. This morning, as we enter our final hymn, I'm going to invite the deacons to make their way forward for a time of anointing. Perhaps some of us here are struggling with anger. Perhaps we're struggling with something in our health. Or perhaps there's a relationship that's gone astray that you wish that God could heal and bring restoration. It tells us in James chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, "Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." It's always good to keep in mind there's nothing special in the anointing oil. This morning I happen to have the Rose of Sharon. It smells great, but there's nothing unique about this oil. It's simply a symbol. And so I invite you during our final hymn, if you be so led to be anointed, to join us and the deacons at the front. Let's pray. Father, we come to you with our lives open to the truth of your word. Father, we confess that there are times we live life at a higher speed than you intended. Help us, Lord, to slow down. Help us, Lord, to soak your word into the depths of our souls, being impacted to change into your likeness, serving and loving others humbly and with patience. Father, forgive us for words that have come from our mouths that have caused hurt. Help us to reconcile these relationships in our lives that have gone astray. And it's only through your power that we can do so. We love you this morning, Lord. We desire our hearts to be filled with constant praise for you and overflowing joy. Draw near to us now as we center our lives and look to you for healing in areas of suffering and sickness and relationships. We pray your anointing over each one here in this congregation and our listening audience. May your will be done. Amen. Special touch this day. We pray in Jesus' name these things. Amen. Go in peace.